Our topic today, death blessing. Now, isn't that thrilling? Death blessing. What blessings could come from death? What blessings could come into our lives from death? Well, nature, as we call it, drops the leaves, and the leaves are dead, and the dead leaves make the fertilizer and the mulch for the trees to grow. And they settle around the base of the trees, and they are used for the trees as the blanket on the earth to keep the earth warm around them, and also to keep the moisture in, and they decay and become food for the tree too. So the tree is a self-perpetuating instrument. It makes leaves, and its leaves drop every winter, every fall. They lay on the ground, put a blanket on the ground, keeping the ground nice and warm for the tree, and also keep the moisture in. And when the snow lays on top of it, then the blanket is like a special insulating blanket, keeping the ground warm for the tree. And it's really quite amazing how just the trees operate and all other plants. Now, man does the same thing with his defecations, and these are used to fertilize the grounds and to fertilize the plants that bring up the food that man eats. Man takes the manure from horses and cows and everything else. And in Asia, they use the human manure to fertilize their grains and their fields. So whenever you're eating grain from Korea or Vietnam or China, you're eating their manure, their personal manure, which is why the grains over there, the rice, are so desirable and so healthy. It's a perpetuation of the humanity continually going through. Well, now, how is it about the death blessings of humanity? Well, we are accustomed to thinking that humanity has the blessings of the monuments that man leaves behind for other men. We leave behind these great buildings and these great institutions, Harvard and Yale as universities, Cambridge and various schools in various parts of the world, well-known names. And those are heritages. Those are death blessings that are left by the people who started the school. And the school grew and continued to serve humanity. Well, now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that Andrew Carnegie left all these libraries throughout the United States? Isn't it wonderful that the United States is going to travel throughout the entire world and build hospitals in every major city in the world? Isn't that wonderful? Instead of starting wars and spending money on wars. Isn't that wonderful? Well, stop and think about it. Why are we here at all? Why are we living at all? What is our purpose in being here on planet Earth? Our purpose is to be ourselves and have fun. Now, any monument we leave or build or do anything should be to ourselves. I would suggest the greatest and first monument that each one of us build, the greatest and first monument that each one of us build is perhaps that I'm God, perhaps that I'm wonderful, but the greatest monument is I'm immortal. I'm eternal. I live forever. If all humanity were to teach itself that it lives forever, it would not be so estranged by putting off a cloak and taking on another one. It would be not so strange. I mean, Ellen thinks nothing of it to jump on an airplane and run away from you guys, just abandon you completely, leave you alone. Just say, I have nothing more to do with you until I come back. You see? And she goes flying off across the ocean. She doesn't care about you. She does her thing over there. And while she's over there, she gives 100% attention to it. And when she's done over there, then she comes back. And when she's back here, she acts as though she never left. You know? And she didn't. She didn't, because wherever you are, you live in the moment. Wherever you are, you give yourself 100% to it. And just because you can't see Ellen, because she's over in Nigeria, or she's over in Switzerland, or wherever she may be, just because you can't see her, that doesn't mean that she's not very much alive and very much doing everything eternally. Now, that's something we can conceive in our modern technology. But think about this. Think about the natives who live in Africa, who had never seen an airplane. Today, that's not so easy, but not too far in the past, that was true. They'd never seen an airplane. So an airplane comes and lands on a field by the African jungle. And the natives come running out there and say, Oh, God has come to earth. God has come to earth. The great angel of the dove has brought God to earth, you know, thinking the airplane is something very special. And it is very special. And so then they worship Ellen, who has come in this wonderful airplane. Oh, it's a woman too. My goodness sakes, you know. I guess we better have a woman worship instead of a man worship, you know. And so they changed their whole program. Ellen says, hey, cool it. Then Ellen says, well, I've got what I came here for. Came here to spread a little cheer. So I'll see you another time. Oh, don't leave us, great angel. Don't leave us, God. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. And she gets in her airplane and flies away. And they never see her again. Now, do they think she's dead? They think that she is an angel somewhere else, that she's being God somewhere else, that God has many things to do, you know, has to take care of many places. And so she's off being God somewhere else. Well, now, as far as Ellen's concerned, she's always being herself wherever she is, having a ball, you know, whether it's in Africa or whether it's in Switzerland or whether it's in New York, it doesn't matter to her. She's just having a ball. Okay. Now, immortal life, eternal life, that's what is our greatest blessing to ourselves, the greatest monument. If we can have this death blessing, the awareness, the beingness of immortal life, being eternal. Just because we take off a cloak and throw it away, that doesn't mean that the soul inside the cloak is dead, or the being inside of the cloak is no longer there. Take this illusion for a minute. Let's say Ingeborg. Ingeborg, you are invisible. Okay, can you handle that?
No.
Okay. Ingeborg's invisible. And so she comes down here to the Absolute Monastery, and she says, I want to be a monk for a while. And Sylvia says, well, now, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. You can be a monk if you want, but I suggest you wear a monk suit. And so Ingeborg says, well, I prefer running around naked. Nobody can see me anyhow. I'm invisible. But if you want me to wear a monk suit, I will. So she puts on the monk suit. You can't see her face or her hands or anything, but you know where she's doing, where she's going. And he says, well, that's better. And so here she is being a monk. And she's our invisible monk wearing a monk robe. And we don't have to wear a monk robe. You can see us, you know, but you can't see her. So she's going around doing all the things. She's learning all these things. Oh, this is so wonderful, she says. This is such a wonderful philosophy. So beautiful. And then Ingeborg says, you know, I think I've learned as much as I want now. I'm going back to my other environment. What environment is that? I'm going back to my environment of all of my friends who are invisible too. And we can see each other, because we see each other with different eyes. You see, we see each other with our charisma, with our aura, with our Ausstrahlung, with the attitude that we have about ourselves. And with you guys, it's kind of hard. You're so hung up on your physical bodies that you think that that's your reality, and so you don't express that inner reality, which is your inner truth. And we do that. I thought I'd learned something at the monastery, and I did. I learned that you guys are hung up on this thing here. And so she goes back to her friends in Invisible Town, you know, and they see each other walking around in each other's charisma and, you know, that sort of stuff, and they're perfectly happy, and they don't think a thing about it. And they said, well, Ingeborg, how did you like your trip to the Visible Town? And Ingeborg says, well, it's all right, kind of different. I had to wear a monk suit so they knew where I was. They hadn't tuned in to me, you know, hadn't tuned in to my charisma, my aura. And she says, you know, they're going to have a hard time. When they throw off this cloak that they're wearing, which they think is their reality, they're going to be invisible and they won't know how to handle it. They'll think that they're not there. They'll think that they don't exist, you know. And really, they're just existing at another level of consciousness. Well, the death blessing could be so grand if we would just realize that just like Ingeborg, being invisible and wearing a monk's robe so she can be seen, we, when we take off our cloak, we are true invisible beings, but we don't really know it because we just haven't done it consciously. Now, that would be a great death blessing if we would just realize we are immortal, we do live forever, and when we take off our outer cloak, we're invisible, but we are just as much there as we ever were. And just because we wear a wig or a false mustache or a fur coat or anything else that we wear, that's not us. That's not us. And women wear makeup, men wear makeup too, and these other things. We put suntan lotion on, and Ingeborg could see the suntan lotion on us, but she couldn't see us. That is, we couldn't see her. She could put suntan lotion on, and we'd see the suntan lotion on her, but she doesn't need suntan lotion because she has nothing to tan. Her reality is her consciousness. Her reality is her invisibility, if you will. Her reality is her spiritual quality, and that's what it is for each of us. But we haven't taken off our skin, so to speak, and cast it aside and expressed who we really are. And to me, that would be one of the greatest blessings that death could ever bring to us. When we are aware that we cast it off, and yet in the casting off, we are not attached to it. When little Anita wore her dress when she wasn't supposed to after school, she was supposed to wear her play clothes. I said, Anita, did your mommy give you permission to do that? No. What has to happen? Well, I must throw it in the trash. So she took off her very pretty dress and she put it in the trash, put the cover on. And then after a while, she went back to the trash and lifted the cover, looked at her dress, put the cover down. You see, this is what we do. That's sort of like the casket, you know. You go to the casket and you look at the dress that has been thrown off and you see it there. Then you close the casket and you bury it and it's gone. But the girl is still there. The reality is still there. The fullness of who we are is still there. I think it's wonderful. I love you and have a wonderful day.